The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I want to show you a couple of scriptures and just bring some thoughts to your mind for what I believe is going on and is going on in the future. 15 years of grace. Grace is not a girl that lives next door, those you're confused. The book of Acts chapter 20, verse 22 through 24. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. And this is, just listen to what he had to say. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prisons and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. I identified with that, and I know it. I understand the heart of Paul when things may not be all that you want them to be, but that God has called you to do something. I stand before you today amazed that I'm able to stand here before you. I never thought I'd live to be as old as I am. Because there was a lot of young people who people didn't live very long in my family, especially my mother's family. A lot of people died of heart disease at a very young age. And I didn't really anticipate 76 to be on my calendar. I thought it was just going to be 1776 when I was born. No, Millie was born in 1770. Oh, Liz maybe was born in 1770. No, I'm not quite that old. But I didn't intend to be here, but here I am. And my question to God is, why am I still here? Why have you? You have no idea how many times I tried to quit. Really, I'm serious. I've tried to quit. I've tried to find somebody to take my place, and I can't find my replacement. And one thing I learned about in my working career, you can't get promoted and you can't do something until you get your replacement. So I haven't been able to find anybody to replace me. It's not that I'm irreplaceable. I just can't find them, all right? But God's got them hidden somewhere. So here we are, and what do? New Beginnings Church is compelled to go to the end. And I want to pick up a couple of places out of that scripture we just read. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to the future, not knowing what will happen to me there. I didn't know what would happen to me the day I lost my arm in the boat. It was just another fishing day that turned sour. But God had a plan. We enter the future as we enter the past with a sense of great expectations. I have great expectations for the future. We will enter the future believing that there's no end in sight. I don't see an end in sight for what we're doing. I used to think when I got to be 65 that I'd probably, just hang up my spurs. But there's so much going on, I can't hang my spurs up. I mean, I wouldn't want to quit now. There's too many good things that are happening. I just wouldn't want to quit now. So for those of you who think, Pastor Morris is getting old and he's going to retire, I don't think it's going to happen. I think... I don't want to wish this on you, but I hope I go preaching, or doing something in the kingdom, and that'll just be the end of it. And you won't have to have a separate service, because I'm going to videotape my funeral service, so I will have it here by. I'll give it to Don. So in case I go, just put me horizontal, play the tape, and then they just take me off and bury me. That'll be the end of it, okay? You can be here for the funeral and the service all at the same time, all right? We enter the future with no fear because we don't know what the future is. People are afraid of the future. We're not going to enter the future that way. We can enter the future with great expectations of good things. Like the song you sang, I still believe in America, but more than that, I still believe in God. And I believe that God's still got a plan and a purpose for this church. If not, it would have been gone a long time ago. But it's amazing that we're still here. I mean, it really is. Nobody's rich in this place with enough money to give us to make it run, but some kind of way the money keeps coming in, and whenever we get some kind of idea to do something, the money goes in. I came in with the idea of the church, and I believe we collected cold, hard cash out of this small congregation. It was it $36,000 or $46,000 in a week, about a week and a half, actually. I mean, people put in cash, no promises, no credit cards, real, because that's what we needed to buy stuff. I don't believe in debt. I'm not in debt. I'd advise you not to be in debt, and I won't put this church in debt. I made myself a promise I wouldn't do it. We rent this building. I would love to own a building. As soon as somebody gives me one, or the money, either way, you know, we'll have one, but I'm not putting the burden of debt on the church, and I just don't believe in it. Now, some people do it, and I may change my mind, but in today's way of doing it, I just wouldn't do it. If I thought it was a good business venture, I might buy it and, you know, rent it to the church, but I wouldn't put the church in that situation. So we can have no fear of failure that would stop us from trying some new things. And we're going to try some new things. I've already got some ideas about new things. You know, one of the things that's kind of interests me, and it's kind of new to me, I just kind of found out about it, that churches are really expanding through the use of video. There's a guy by the name of Robert Morris, who I happen to know. I love his name, Robert Morris. He has a church. Some of you may have seen him on TV. He's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I've seen him on TV, and he's got a pretty good congregation. Looks like he's got about maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people can sit in his building. I just found out that every Sunday morning, over 75,000 people hear him preach. 75,000 people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You know how he does it? Through the medium of electronics. They have churches where they have a pastor, and then they have music, and they do the music. And when it's time for the sermon, they turn on the video, and they watch Robert Morris. And then when he's finished the sermon, they have an invitation or do whatever they do. And, it's a fully functioning church, satellite church, I believe is the name that they use for. And I kind of like that idea. And maybe we'll do something like that. Not necessarily that we'll be broadcasting out in a satellite. If we want to, we will. But I had mentioned this last year, but I'm working on trying to get it done. There's some men who teach Hongpa Horatio that I want to get in here that I can't always bring in. And so I thought we would start watching them on video. We'll have our regular service, and then we'll just tap into their lines. James Barron is in the process of getting the equipment to be able to broadcast. So as soon as he can do that, we'll bring James Barron in. I'd like to get Rick in, Rick Manis, as you know, Alan Hickman, maybe Robert Morris, maybe some others. Just bring them in and we'll just watch, all right? So it's the technological change of things. I have a thought that, and we tried this last week, and I really liked it. Those of you who were here for our review and Q&A, I just love the interaction. I really work well in that environment. So we'll do that maybe once a month, or when I wrap up a sermon series, and maybe we'll set the tables out and have a morning kind of breakfast and, or whatever. I don't know. I don't have it all worked out. But we're going to do some things different. So don't be afraid in the future. We'll try some things. And if it works, we'll do it. If it doesn't work, we'll forget about it, okay? So but we can't live in any fear. We're not going to go into the future with any fear for ourselves. I know a lot of you are afraid. You're afraid of what's going to happen. Is the economy going to collapse? Are you going to have any food? Are you going to have a life? We're not going to live that way, all right? That's terrorism of the highest caliber. I won't teach it, and I won't let you get that way, all right? If you feel called of God to store up 10,000 pounds of food, we're going to find a way to distribute it, right? Denise, where are you? I don't see her. She's in the back with the kids, all right? We'll put the glow team to work and we'll give it away, all right? Because you're not going to be able to hold it and keep it. Besides, if anything does happen and you're right and I'm wrong, you're going to have to feed me and the rest of us, all right? Just the way it's going to be. We'll have no fear of evil hindering us. Evil is running rampant and we will not be stopped by the evil one's plans. We're going to do what I believe God's called us to do and we will not be afraid. Amen? We're going to have a kingdom ministry where things that we do aren't necessarily done in this building. That's one of the things the Lord taught me. We have a great outreach. You give me the ability to have a great outreach. We touch our community in various cities around here in St. Tammany Parish. People know who you are. They don't know you individually, but they know who you are because they know me. And they know I'm the pastor of this church. All right? So we're going to continue doing those kinds of things. Amen? All right, the next thing is NBC knows that danger awaits ahead. I'm not stupid, in other words. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prisons and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. I want you to begin to live that passage of Scripture right here. Start living it. Believe in it. If you're worried about your life, you're worried about the wrong thing. What you need to be worried about is other people's lives and the impact that you can have in their lives, and stop being so self-centered about yourself. Think about others who need you. And we're going to do that. We're not going to live in fear about what happens to us. Standing for righteousness has a price. And we will pay that price. We will not be afraid. That price is anywhere from ridicule, people saying ugly things about you, to maybe even death. You know, we've seen it happening. It's happening now. It's not Fox's Book of Martyrs anymore about those who died in the past. We're talking about people who are dying today. It was one thing when they beheaded those Christians in ISIS on the other side of the planet. It's another thing when people are getting killed by madmen because they're Christians, like we just saw happen in a school up in Oregon. It's happening. You might say, I don't know if I could do that, Pastor Morris. Well, I don't know if you could do it either. But I know God could do it. And he'll give you what you need when you need it. You don't have to worry about denying the Lord. That won't happen for you. Whom Papa Ratio doesn't deny himself. All right? And you won't deny either if it comes down to that. So we know there's danger ahead, but we can't let the fear of personal loss hinder our progress in our own personal lives or in the life of this church. We will go forward bravely, just as Paul did. I know there's danger out there. The Holy Spirit tells me there's danger out there, but it will not stop me. I will not shut up. I will not quit. I will not back down. We will go forward. We will go forward as a church, and we'll go to places where others may be afraid to go, but we will go. Thank you very much for that amen. There are dangerous times as evil rises. And it is dangerous in this world today. Secular opposition is trying to destroy every vestige of Christianity in this country and in this on the planet. It's happening day by day. They have an agenda. They have power. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in high places. But we cast down those imaginations. We make them of no effect. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have nothing to be afraid of. Paul wasn't afraid of going where he went. Did he suffer hardships? You bet he did. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned. He was left for dead. He was shipwrecked. But he kept on keeping on. And if that's what it takes for us, for the gospel to go forward, we will do it. And if you're not willing to do that, you'll be one of the casualties on the sideline. You'll be disappearing out of this place. Because only those who believe will continue on to get this job done. And if you're afraid, you won't be able to do these things. Fear cannot paralyze you. Fear should inspire you to overcome fear and do whatever it takes. And we can do things without living in fear. Secular opposition is here. They're taking things away layer by layer. But I've got good news for you. There is a remnant of believers just like us who will not quit, who will not stop, and will not let the enemy win. And they're all over. I go to conferences where I hear these things. In fact, I may show you a video of one of the conferences I went to put on by the Louisiana Freedom Guard, which is a pro bono organization that helps churches who get in trouble because they're sued by the secularists. It's about a 45-minute, maybe a 55-minute video. Maybe we'll show that. Might do it on a Sunday morning because I wouldn't trust you to come any other time. Maybe you can prove me wrong, but it's something worthwhile doing. But there are some other people that need to see it too, and I think we could probably get a good group together. It's a very inspiring thing that I went to, all right? The homosexual agenda is on the move. I don't hate to pick on homosexuals, but right now they're standing in front of the line, all right? And they have a plan, and that plan is going to affect you as an individual. It's going to affect us as a church, and we have to do things about that. I've already done some things. I've filed the incorporation papers of the church, made statements about where we stand on homosexuality. I have nothing against homosexual people. You can do whatever you want to do. I love them. I've got some friends that are homosexuals. It's not about that. It's just the agenda to try to destroy a basic fundamental building block of society. And that's the relationship of a man and a woman, husband and wife relationship. And we're not going to back down on that. You know, people, have you heard this? I want to get this out of your mind. I'm going to say it, but don't get this out of your mind. People are now saying it's the law of the land, as if that's the way it has to be. No. You know, what if the people in slavery would have said that? Well, it's the law of the land. That would people would still be slaves today? Well, what about segregation? It's the law of the land. That abomination went by the wayside too. And I'm telling you, this thing about marriage between a man and woman is not over. Just because some pinheads in Washington, D.C. decided they could rule over this nation, they're going to find out. I'm probably saying more than I want to say about this, but let me bring it up. Some of the discord that you see that's taking place in Washington, D.C., you know why it's taking place? Because the American people are dissatisfied with the way the nation is going. They're electing people who will not back down. And the people, that small remnant that's in Washington, D.C. right now, that won't back down. That's why we don't have a Speaker of the House. Because that element will not back down. They were elected by people just like you who said, you get up there and you do the job that we sent you up there to do. And these guys aren't backing down. That's why that's a turmoil. And it's good because that means that change is taking place. Things are going to be different. So it's not over. None of the agendas of evil will we submit to. The murderous evil from the womb to the school shooting to churches shooting. One of the things that we're going to do this year, some of the men in this church and some of the women too have concealed carry permits. In order to be able to carry a concealed permit in the church, you need several things. One is you need to be trained. You need 8 hours of tactical training, and you also need my permission to do it. All right? We will have people in the church who will be armed in order to protect you and to protect themselves. All right? We're going to do that. It's going to happen this year. All right? I'm not asking you permission. I'm telling you it's the way it's going to be. All right? Say, well, we have faith in God. We have faith in God. Jesus said, get a sword. All right, if you need one, all right? There are times and seasons, and we're not going to be so stupid for you to be standing up and some crazed person come in this church and start killing you and not be able to do something to preserve your life. If this idea of getting rid of guns, if those folks up in Oregon would have had guns, they would have been able to kill that perpetrator before he killed all those people, all right? So I believe in being armed. If you don't believe in being armed, let's tell the United States of America to get rid of the Army and the Air Force and the Navy and the Marines and everybody else, because we're just not going to do that anymore. The reason you're sitting here in freedom today is because this nation is armed. All right? So don't be afraid of that. And if that bothers you, just come talk to me about it. I'm sure I can change your mind. All right? I'm sure I can change your mind. I met a pastor up in Baton Rouge at a conference Pat and I went to, I think it was 2 years ago, and he was from someplace in the Midwest. I'm not sure exactly. Connecticut, yeah. He carries a Glock pistol, for those who don't know it, that's a manufactured pistol. And he says he carries it every time he preaches. He said, I have a Glock for the flock. He said, nobody's going to mess with my congregation, all right? I don't have a Glock, but I do have a Kimber, I have a Beretta, and I have several other versions of guns, all right? And you will be safe in here. They might get one of you, but they won't get all of you, all right? You be nice to me and I'll save you. All right, the last thing I want to talk about is NBC will finish the task ahead. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. That's what Paul wanted to do. That's what I want to do. And I know that's what many of you want to do. You know, our message is grace. And I make no apology for that. And I was so proud of you when I had somebody came in here and spoke a couple of weeks ago, and they brought up something about following some part of the law. I don't even remember what it was right now. I could almost hear you groaning, you know. And after service, so many of you came up to me and said, oh, Pastor, we knew that wasn't right. We knew that wasn't right. You know, I can't, you know, when I bring people in here, I don't always know what they're going to say. I try to know in advance, but I don't always know. But we're not going to bow down to the old message of that poisonous concoction of mixing grace and law together. We are new covenant people under the new covenant of the grace of God, and we make no apology for that, because if without that, you go to hell. All right? If you think you're going to be good enough to get to heaven, you're lost. You will never make it. So this message that's behind me says, come home with all is forgiven. I got that when we started the church, and I didn't have any idea what I was saying when I said it and the impact of what that means. That means that anyone can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and find salvation. Anyone, there's nothing you've done that he won't receive you back into the fold. And it's not a matter of your sins that's the problem. It's a matter of whether you're dead or alive. If you've been born again or you haven't been born again, that's what makes a difference, all right? I'm not going to preach that sermon today. We will set free anyone who will listen. People want to get set free? There's a place to get set free. We have a message that will free people. Free them from the bondage of religion. Free them from the bondage of sin, so that they don't live under. People live under condemnation. Believe they can never be forgiven. Well, if you knew what I've heard people tell me is, if you knew what I've done in my life, you know that God would never receive me. And that's just the person that Christ died for. Everyone, whether your biggest sin is taking cookies out of a cookie jar, like my good friend Stan Bishop told me one day, he grew up in church. You know, he said, the worst thing I can remember doing is taking cookies out of the cookie jar. My mother told me not to do it. He said, I've always known the Lord. He said, I wish I had a good testimony. I said, that's the best testimony I've ever heard. You know, most of us got a bunch of garbage in our lives. But God is in the garbage cleaning up business. He removes it, obliterates it. He puts it on the other side of the universe. For your sins are forgiven at Calvary's tree. All right? We're going to end insecurity. People are insecure. I don't know what's going to happen to me when I die. If I didn't know what was going to happen to me when I die, I wouldn't die. Why would you want to die if you didn't know where you were going? If there's any doubt about it. I was just reading a book by William Wilberforce, who ended the slave trade in England back in the 1700s. Well, actually, it was 1800s, early 1800s when he did it. And they said, and he was a wonderful Christian man, an outstanding Christian man, but he never had the joy of knowing the security of his sins being completely forgiven. And on his deathbed, his son was there, and his son wrote about him and said that he hoped that he would make it in heaven. Listen, Richard, if William Wilberforce didn't make it in heaven, nobody would, because he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, totally and completely, his whole life was sold out to him. So a lot of people just, you're afraid. And I want to end that fear for you, you know, through the gospel of grace. End insecurity about sin, knowing that you are forgiven in Christ. Jesus died for all your sins. Get over it. Get over it. It's over. It's finished, in the words of Jesus, all right? So, nothing will discourage me, New Beginnings Church, from doing what God's called us to do. Now, one of the things that I do is I'm very busy in my agenda that God has opened up for me that I never intended, you know, with the Slidell Ministers Association and the chaplaincy program and just a multitude of other things that God keeps opening doors. And I keep saying, you know how old I am, God? You know, I'm supposed to be slowing down. And I just hear laughter from heaven, all right? He doesn't seem to care. So as things open up, I'm just going to do it. And we'll see. God will take care of us and give us the strength and energy we need. But I maybe I'm like the Roman candle. It fizzles out at the end, you know, gets a couple of good pops and then goes away. If I just roll over dead, just say, gee, what's getting old? What? You know, but I feel good. I'm not leaving. I'm not looking to retire or hang up or quit. I want to just make sure you understand that I'm in this until God gets me out of it. And I got a feeling the only way he's going to get me out of it is dead. All right? I like it. I'm enjoying it. I'm having more fun than you can imagine. I love you as a congregation. I love this church. I'm so glad I don't have 1,000 of you. I couldn't handle it. Believe me. I would change from being a minister and a pastor who loves people to some kind of administrator. And I don't want to be an administrator. If I want to be an administrator, I'd kept my computer company, all right? I love you. I love being with you. I love the friendship, the intimacy of knowing you, and knowing your names and knowing things about you. I know everything. But I'm not telling, all right? You know, it's great, I'm very happy. And I hope you're happy with me. It's Pastor Appreciation Day. You got to appreciate me today, all right? So, and you do. I'm one of the... I don't know who that was either, Joe. Well, hallelujah. Well, that's about as close as I can get to a sermonette, okay? So there we go. Next week, God willing, we're going on a. I don't have time to go on cruises or big vacations, so I'm just going to go follow Jesus. He went a lot of places. He was a busy man, all right? And I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'm going to find enough of them that are interesting to us. Where he went and what he did and why he was there, and maybe some background, kind of like a little tour guide for you. And that'll be the next series, and we'll be doing that. So I've said everything that I had planned to say, some things I didn't plan to say.